Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to the program today. Listen, we're going to be talking about something that when you say the phrase, I think people kind of say, oh no, I know where we're going there. We're going to be talking about the Word of Life. And I'm telling you, I have thought about this for weeks. I've thought about this specific message for weeks because there's so much in here that I believe is going to be valuable to your life. It's going to help stabilize your walk with God. And again, everything that we do, we're doing it to help you connect with and experience the life of God that has been freely given to you through the Lord Jesus. I want to remind you that this message and all of my messages can be found at www.impactministries.com. You can go back and go through other series. You can get this message or the entire series. You can use this for your home groups. We got I groups all over the world that use these messages for people to get together and study. So check it out, use it, build yourself up. That's why we put it there. You know, for so many Christians, faith is a matter of pulling a scripture out of the Bible from somewhere and trying really, really hard to believe it. But the truth is, we have to trust the God of the Word before we can really trust the Word of God. In this new series, Overcoming Your Greatest Temptations, I'm going to introduce you to the root of all of your struggles, all of your temptations, and give you tools that will take you down a path so that you'll always come to the place of victory. All right, today we're talking about the Word of Life, and I am telling you, if there's anything that fires me up, gets me excited, it really fits into what I'm talking about now, because one of the things about God is not all that hard to understand. He's not all that hard to figure out unless you twist His Word or reject His Word or somehow or another pervert His Word. God becomes so stable, so predictable. I mean, I might not know all, I don't claim that we can know all the intricate wisdom of God, but I'll tell you what we can know. We can know what God's will is in every situation. We can know what God is working toward in every situation. We can know what God will do in us in every situation. And you never have to be left in the dark with God. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't know that if you mishandle the Word of God, if you have no value for the Word of God, if you twist the Word of God or throw away the Word of God. Now, when we start talking about the Word of God, unfortunately, we get into people who have overreactions to past abuses of these types of concepts. You know, I've said this for years and years and years. You know, the church theologically has been like a drunk driving down the road that just goes way over to this ditch and almost runs off the road, then goes over to this ditch and then goes back, overcorrects. You know, every time goes back and hits this ditch, overcorrects. And we've done that for 2,000 years. We really haven't settled in on what Jesus did at the cross. We really haven't settled in on just some of the simple, practical things of the Word of God. And all of this really started when the church became more of an institution or an organization and needed to create doctrines that gave them the power to control people. And so once all of these corrupt doctrines were introduced into the church and the church was no longer about relating to Jesus and serving Jesus, then the church became an institution that was as power hungry as any corrupt government in the world. But the problem is when these corrupt doctrines and these corrupt messages entered the church, instead of people going back to the Bible and saying, you know what, this is in the Bible, it's just not in the Bible the way this person is saying it's in the Bible. So we totally reject something that's in the Bible make an overcorrection and go to another extreme, and we just end up in the ditch on the other side of the road. And then we do that for a while, and when people finally see that's not going to work, it's not what they thought it was going to be, then the same thing happens again. You know, people today throw away the message of faith because of the abuses of the faith message. People did bizarre, unscriptural, ungodly, ignorant things in the name of faith. People lost their lives, they lost their fortunes, they lost their businesses, they lost their marriages in the name of faith. And so then people reacted to all of that. And then you got people that they get into grace and they overreacted and they came up with a corrupt definition of grace, and suddenly you got people in universalism, you got people in ultimate reconciliation, you got people in inclusion, you got people into all kinds of things that are not in the Bible, but it's an overreaction to previous abuses. So now people throw away grace. Listen, don't throw away anything that's in the Bible. As a matter of fact, don't throw away the Bible. Don't throw away the Word of God. We fail to understand how the Word of God fits into the grand scheme of things. The abuses that we've seen of the Word in the past, the way people have used the Word to dominate and control, the way people have used the Word to manipulate the masses, and instead of saying, all right, God, you know, we're going to do this the way you say it, I'm going to let you be my teacher, Holy Spirit. I'm going to hold to the Word of God, but I'm going to get you to teach me how it should look in my life. Teach me what this looks like based on who Jesus is and based on Jesus' teachings. And that's really what we want to do. You know, in Isaiah 53:1, the prophet, in Isaiah 52, he explains the problem. We talked about that already, how that leaders cause people to go into captivity, to moan, to howl, and to blaspheme God because of the way they misrepresented God. Then in Isaiah 53, we have this incredible picture of what I call the exchange, of what Jesus did on the cross in man's place, and it's an exchange that we can enter into by faith. We're not, just because Jesus did His part doesn't mean that we've done our part. The Apostle Paul said that we had this ministry of reconciliation. That's that word exchange. And then he said, I plead with you to enter into or participate in this reconciliation. See, even though Jesus died for the world, the whole world is not involved in that reconciliation or experiencing it, or the whole world's not saved, the whole world's not going to be saved. And if somebody's trying to get you to believe that, I'm telling you, they're going to rob your faith. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that the trying of our faith is such an incredible thing. Why? Because it's more precious than gold. Our faith is more precious than gold. And when somebody comes along and tries to steal our faith, steal our confidence in God, I'm going to tell you something, we better hold on to it. We better rise up to it and hold on to it more than anything that we can imagine. But sometimes we think it's faith just because we attach the name of God to it. There's things that people tell me that they're in faith about, that they're trusting Jesus for, and it's not in the Bible. It's just something that they've come up with. It's some philosophy, it's some mysticism, it's something they wish they had, it's something they want to do. Sometimes it's things in direct contradiction to the Word of God. That's not faith. I want you to understand something. Faith is a process that starts with who God is. This is so important. We talked about this, I think, in the first program in this series. Faith starts with who God is. Who is God? What's His character? And then God speaks words, and these words then create light, and this light creates life, and this life creates love, and then love can be trusted, therefore faith comes alive. So when we talk about faith, we're not just talking about faith in just the Word of God. We're talking about faith that trusts the character of the person who spoke the Word. Isaiah 53, you know, he says, he talks about believing on Jesus, as the Scripture says, but he says, who has believed our report? Well, see, that's the problem. People, including Christians, don't believe the report that God gave us about Jesus. We believe the report that mysticism has given us. We believe the report that cults have given us. We believe the report that religion has given us. We believe the report that our denomination has given us. We believe the report our family has given us. But it's amazing how few people have ever really searched the scriptures to know God's report and make a decision. Do I believe what God says, or am I just going to come up with my own thing? Well, you know, in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, when it talks about this whole process of, you know, it says that no one who believes on the Lord will be made ashamed. And then it goes through this whole process about believing. And then ultimately, it gets down into verse 16. It says, but they have not all obeyed or believed, as it says in the original, the gospel. For the Lord says, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to tell you something. God has spoken. Hopefully, people are going to preach the truth. And then we're going to take that truth and we're going to go back to the Bible. Yes, the Bible, the Word of God, the report that God gives in His Word. You see, our greatest struggle, our ultimate battle, is always unbelief about God's report. You know, in the very beginning, you know, God revealed Himself to man, first of all, through His name and through His Word. Now, through creation, the way creation worked, we should be able to just understand phenomenal things about God. You know, Romans 1:20 says that all of the invisible attributes of God can be understood by the visible things that He's created. But sadly, people will look at what God has created and they'll worship the creation instead of the Creator. See, we could just look at creation and understand vast amounts of truth and reality about God, but we choose not to because we've already decided, you know, that we're going to believe something else. But see, God also did something else. One of the things that He did was that He taught Adam in the garden. He gave Adam and Eve truth. You know, the book of Job, which is the oldest book in the Bible, gives us incredible information that man knew about God long before the book of Genesis was ever written. You know, the book of Genesis was given to Moses by God. It was the crucial aspects of creation that God wanted man to know. And it shows God's whole history with mankind. And particularly His history with how He brought a Savior into the world. And so through this, particularly through the first five books of the Bible, we understand who God is. We understand the order of how God does things. God is very orderly. He is not random. He is not chaotic. We see in these first five books of the Bible, even though we have a lot of prophecies that come later on, but we see the need for a Savior. And all the way back to the book of Genesis, we even have the prophecy of a Savior. So God taught man things in His Word, which was later written down. You know how people say, you know what, the law's not important. I don't believe the law. You know, I just don't. Well, the law is considered to be the first five books of the Bible. And the law was God's account of Himself. So let me say, you're going to reject God's account of Himself for somebody's personal revelation that doesn't line up with the Word of God? What could go wrong with that? But besides that, the Bible says that God reveals Himself to us by His name. And the first name that we knew of God was the name El, I believe it is. And the word El basically means the one who reveals Himself by His name. And that's why He would say, El Shaddai. I reveal Myself by My name, and I am the Almighty. That's why we would have any of the aspects where the word El is connected to the name of God. It would say, I'm revealing Myself by My name, and here's My name. And so then God revealed Himself as the healer. He revealed Himself as the God of peace. He revealed Himself as the God of love. He revealed Himself through His name. So we have His name and His Word. And what's interesting is the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, it says that above all else, God exalts His Word and His name. Now, I want you to understand something. When you question the Word of God, you question the name of God. You take God's name in vain. When you question the character of God, you question the Word of God, basically you are questioning God's character. You're not just questioning His Word. Now, God gave us all of His Word so we could understand everything that we need to understand, so that when Jesus came, Jesus would then shine the light onto His Word and cause us to have the ultimate understanding of what that Word really meant and what it should really, really look like in real life. And He was going to give us the grace of God. He was going to bring us the grace of God so that we would have the Holy Spirit power inside of us that made us able to live in that Word, able to live a righteous life, able to be who God says that we really are. Now, when we come into Jesus, we are called to enter into a place of rest. And the Bible says that this place of rest is a place where we cease from our own labors. And it compares this place of rest to what the children of Israel went through when they entered into the land of Canaan. Now, you see, when they went in, they still fought battles. When they went in, they still obeyed God. When they went in, they still followed the leadership of the Lord. But they did what they did, trusting God and experiencing His power in battles, experiences His hand of deliverance. Man, you know, the children of Israel would go into these battles and you know, the enemy would hear a rumbling and think, oh no, there's thousands of chariots coming, we got to run, and they would kill each other. You know, I saw this in a newspaper just the other day. You may have seen this on Facebook, where a particular newspaper was interviewing someone from Hamas that was a part of firing these missiles into Israel, and they were asking them why these missiles weren't hitting the targets. And his answer is, their God changes the course of the missiles in the air. You know, this happened back in the Six-Day War. You know, Israel has won some phenomenal battles throughout history. And we have these records so that they will be examples to us. But my point here is this. Entering into rest doesn't mean you lay around and do nothing. It means everything that you do by the grace of God, by the power of God working in you. Now, when the Bible teaches us about the children of Israel entering into this promised land, in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, it says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, there's two key things here. Number one, the good news of the word. The word. Say it again. The word. And remember, the Word of God is an expression of who God is, of God's love, how He's for us, His promises. The Word is a representative of everything about God. And if we don't trust His Word, we don't trust Him because we don't know Him. Because outside of His Word, which Jesus came and manifested, I know we look to Jesus to understand who God is, but Jesus demonstrated His Word in His life, in His character, in His ministry, in His teaching, and all that He did. So first of all, this good news about God, this Word of God, has to be mixed with faith in those who hear it. Otherwise, it does not do them any good. In fact, you know, he goes on to say, and this is a New Testament writer. This is not an Old Testament writer. He says, for we who have believed do enter into that rest as he has sworn. And then God said this, I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And what he begins to talk about is the fact that there were people among the nation of Israel. See, they got delivered from Egypt. That's like us getting delivered from sin. They had come out of Egypt. They had made the journey with God. It wasn't that they were just totally abandoning God. But because they did not mix faith with the word they heard, they would never be able to enter into that place of rest. Now, I want you to understand something. Entering into the place of grace is where we cease from our own labors and where we labor in the power of His might. But I want you to understand something. You can have the doctrine of grace. You can have a message of grace. You can have some concept of grace. It doesn't mean that you're going to experience it, because you only enter into that place of rest when you believe the truth about what He says, about what you have in Jesus, the truth about what Jesus did for you through His death, burial, and resurrection. And then, Hebrews goes on and again, you know, defines more about Hebrews 3 and Hebrews chapter 4 talks about this thing about entering into rest and about our need to enter into rest. But you know, it really says something interesting. After it talks about entering into rest and ceasing from our own labors, down in verse 11 of chapter 4 it says, "Let us be diligent therefore to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." It says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents," or the intentions of the heart. I want you to understand something. People today are abandoning the Word of God, and they are exchanging it for philosophical concepts about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Instead of looking back at the sacrifices and the offerings and the ceremonies that showed us what Jesus would do, instead of doing that, they're rejecting all of that and saying, you know, that none of that is valid today. There are people that don't even believe what Jesus said about His own death, burial, and resurrection, or any of His teachings. And there's even people that are going, some people are saying, well, you know, we just follow Paul. Well, you know, Paul, in the book of Corinthians, he said, look, don't say you follow me or that you follow Paul. So he says, you didn't get baptized unto me. You got baptized unto Jesus if you got baptized at all. Listen, the Word of God is the only thing that can give us the truth that we need to discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts, to keep us on track when we depart from the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know what? We've all had things happen in our life. We have all had pain come into our life. We've all seen hardships. And our tendency is to interpret God based on our life experiences instead of interpreting God from His Word. I want to tell you something. I can't tell you the times I've gone to the Word of God and just said, you know what, all I know is this is what God's Word said, if I die, I'll die believing this. If I die, I'll die trusting in God's Word. I want to tell you, God's Word, which all of His Word is still good, but you got to understand, we do have a new covenant. And on this new covenant, you know, we're delivered from all the curses of the law. We're qualified for all the promises of the law. Jesus has fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law. And so that all that's really left then is, you know, that's not taken care of in Him is us loving one another, how we're going to treat one another. And all of this, everything in God's Word, if we interpret it in light of this new covenant, every bit of it gives us the basis for a hope. Hope is confident expectation. See, I know what I can expect from God because I trust His Word. And hope is always the forerunner of faith. Without hope, faith does not emerge. But you see, I look at the Word of God and I can say, you know, I'm talking to God. Holy Spirit, the Word of God says that this is who God is. The Word of God says this is what God will do. I am in Jesus. I am qualified for that. I thank You that this truth is mine. Now, Holy Spirit, lead me in the path of righteousness, in the path of how it should be, because this is not how it is in my life, but I'm going to follow You in this. And listen, our greatest struggle, our greatest temptation is overcome when we accept God's Word as the absolute truth, the absolute testimony about who He is, about who Jesus is, and about what we can expect in Him. And I want to tell you something. It's the Word that the Holy Spirit works with. Remember, the writer of Hebrews says that this gospel doesn't benefit you if you don't mix it with faith. Our greatest struggle, our greatest temptation is our fear of trusting what the Word of God says. But I got news for you. If you ever make up your mind that you're going to trust what the Word of God says, the Holy Spirit will become your teacher. He'll confirm it to you. He'll lead you into it. You'll experience it as a way of life. Listen, don't run off. I want to share a mentoring moment with you where I'm going to give you some practical things that you can do to apply the Word of God to your life and begin to enter into a true experience of the living Word. I want you to know that Impact Ministries is committed to developing your heart, renewing your mind, giving you the tools that you need so that you can have an incredible walk with God. On our website, we have Living Under Lordship, which is a program for new believers, or really for believers who are just looking to become stable in their walk with God. It's a free one-year program that will take you from A to Z and help you build a stable life. We have a free program called Foundations of Faith that will take you through what the Bible says are the six basic foundations that you have to have in place before you can even enter into the realm of understanding and walking in righteousness. We have a whole page of free stuff, free messages that you can get. And all of these programs that are available on Vimeo, on YouTube, and on all of these other places. Listen, get our free mobile app. Get access to everything we've got. Be a disciple and build your life. Sadly, a few people have learned the secret of dealing with problems based on their priorities. You see, there are issues we can resolve that have a domino effect. They're core issues. The Bible calls us laying the axe to the root. And in this 6-CD series, Overcome Your Greatest Temptation, you will be equipped to deal with one of the root of all your struggles. Winning this battle will put an end to almost every other struggle in your life so that living in victory and peace becomes easier than you ever imagined. You know, when Jesus was getting ready to leave planet Earth, He gave some incredibly important instructions to His disciples about how to live in victory after He had departed and after He poured out the Holy Spirit. And one of the things He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come and lead you into all truth because I really haven't told you everything. Now, He wasn't saying the Holy Spirit was going to give them different truth or new truth. Remember, the word truth has to do with the true goal, the true fulfillment of what was meant by all instruction that had come prior to this. But in John 17, 14, Jesus says something really interesting. He's talking to the Father. He says, I have given them your word. You see this importance that Jesus places on the word? The word of God, you will realize, is one of the most important things for keeping you on the tracks, along with the Holy Spirit working in your heart with this word. He says, now the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Now, how is He going to keep them from the evil one? I mean, obviously, we've got the Holy Spirit in us, but the Holy Spirit is not going to make us do anything that we don't want to do. We still have choices that we have to make. So how is God going to keep us from being destroyed by the evil one? He says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. Now listen to this. The word sanctify means to set apart from something and to set apart unto something. You see, it's the sanctification of the Word of God in our heart. That place where we make the Word of God special, where we go into our heart and allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, and through embracing the Word and mixing it with faith, we are able to enter into this realm the Bible calls the kingdom of God. We are able to enter into this experience called grace, where we have a power greater than ours. But all of this happens to us because we believe the Word of God, not just because it's words in a book, but because these are words that were spoken by someone that loves us, by someone that's dependable, by someone that's reliable, by someone that's always for us and never going to be against us. So when we embrace the Word, we are set apart from the world and set apart unto God.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.